This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Hey, we've got a great show in store for you. Something a little different that we have not done is thinking about helping businesses. And one of our great partners, you'll know these voices from our Sportsman of Colorado show, LT Arms. Owner Kyle Willie joins us. Kyle, good to see you.
Good seeing you.
And Brandon Anderson.
Good to see you, bud. Scott.
And Kyle has several arms to his business strategy here. So we've got LT Arms, and then he has a company called Low Tech. And then we're going to get into another one on another show, but I won't spoil that. We'll keep that as a surprise. But, Kyle, first of all, welcome. This is going to be cool. We're going to help people here.
Heck yeah.
Some business strategies.
Yeah, some business strategies and get people going.
Who doesn't need help in business strategies, you know? Yeah. And sometimes you just don't know where to get it. Now, how good is it to get it from somebody that's in business, too, and understands all the different facets of starting a business to, you know, running a business and all that? So this is going to be pretty cool. I guess just tell us about Low Tech, how that came about, and what's all involved under that umbrella of Low Tech, and then we'll get into our topic.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, Low Tech Sales is a branding specialist company. We help companies get their name out there, help market, and get as much exposure as they can. We focus in the restaurant and hospitality industry, but we can help anyone in any industry to get their name out there. Because branding, you know, in one market and industry works the same in any other one. Really, it's just exposure and having the know-how of where your customers are so you can reach them.
Right.
And so Low Tech Sales, we do promotional products, from anything from putting your logo on utensils to doing a full, you know, car wrap for your delivery vehicles to wall murals and everything, you know, in between of apparel and squishies and name it. The only limitation is your imagination.
Okay. All right. I see you said car wrap. I was going to save that. But anyway, vivid visuals, and we'll get to that in another segment for sure. So when you look at, you take the utensil side of stuff, man, and I'm here at your world headquarters here over here in Littleton, but that takes a lot of machinery, man.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, we have, you know, full digital printers. We have 8-foot printers. We have, you know, small bed printers for utensils. We have giant laser machines. You know, the name Low Tech Sales came to be back in 87 when everything was high tech this, high tech that. Well, we're using lasers to engrave stuff now, so we're not too low tech anymore.
Yeah,
but we're, you know, foil embossing, embroidery, screen printing. Name it, we can put your logo on it.
Right. And one thing we're going to be doing here is focusing some here on restaurants. I mean, boy, you talk about a tough industry. That is one on many facets. But one is, how do you get your name out there? How do you get people to remember it? I mean, man, it doesn't take long to go to whatever corner you want to around the cities here, different locations, and there's a lot of choices to eat. And so, and Brandon, you kind of run the marketing side of things. So what's your input on what he said so far?
Well, I mean, especially, you know, in the restaurant industry, restaurants come and go quicker than most businesses do. You know, the success rate of a restaurant, whether it's around 10% or something like that, and they usually shut down within the first year of business. So, you know, someone starts a new business or a new restaurant in particular, and they come up with, you know, this is what kind of food we're going to make, and this is what we're going to name it, and here's where the restaurant's going to be. And they get there and they open up the first day and they're like, well, nobody's here. How do we let people know that this is a thing? And so that's what we like to take care of, is kind of getting your name out there and getting that brand recognition for people, letting the world know you exist, and coming up with, you know, clever and unique ways to do that. So you're not just, you know, you can do business cards, but there's a lot more interesting products and gadget, like Kyle was saying with the squishies and things like that. There's so many fidgets and weird things that exist in the world today that, you, I mean, we can, like you said, we can put your brand on anything and create a memorable product for people to hold on to. And someone will say, where'd you get that? And then you show it to them, you know, it does the work for you. So that's what we try to do.
No doubt. Again, Kyle Will is with us and Brent Anderson, and we are talking about low-tech here in Littleton. All right, so if we you're going to be getting us some partners with some restaurants that you work with. So what's kind of your strategy when you walk into a restaurant to try to tell them about what you can offer?
Yeah, so the strategy there is the whole premise is getting your name out there. You know, how do people find you? How do they know who you are? And everything in between there of having, because, yeah, you can have a big sign on the side of the street saying, you know, Jim's Barbecue, and everyone can assume that's barbecue. But you need to get them in the door. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these restaurants do drop-off catering. And that's a big avenue of someone's gotten a group of people to come together and eat your food. Especially in the restaurant industry, word of mouth is so huge. In every industry, word of mouth is huge. Sure. And so you have, you know, say 50 to 100 people at a catered event, say it's a wedding or, you know, a sporting event or some banquet that you're at. You have 50 to 100 people that are tasting your food, and they need that impression of knowing where that food came from. And so, you know, a lot of people will throw a business card on the table with their food. 9 times out of 10, that gets pushed under a Schaefer dish or thrown in the trash or something like that. But if you brand the utensils they are using to serve the food, then as they're serving the food, they see your name in their hand. And that's one of the biggest things, is as many impressions as you can get. And I use that phrase lightly because a lot of marketing agencies will push, oh, I can get you a million impressions in 1 week. Well, that doesn't really do anything unless there's, you know, some actually return on that, mm-hmm. those impressions. And so that's why this is very beneficial, because those people are serving the food that they're eating and getting that impression at the same time. So most restaurants are in business because they make amazing food.
Sure.
You know, I don't think my 5-year-old daughter is going to be starting a restaurant, you know, baking her Play-Doh, you know, cookies.
Right.
But, and so you're already getting that strong impression with your amazing food. You need to get a name tied to that as well while they're eating it. And so that's where that big branding push comes into play of, you just made 50 to 100 people remember who you are, and now you have 50 to 100 potential customers.
Right. You know, we just had some people from our church. We have an older sector of our people at our church, and we had about 30 people, just 30, you know, but we had it catered from Maggiano's, and we told people where it was from. But, you know, how cool would that have been to, you know, have something to hand to all those people and let them know, because they're going to walk out and not, you know, remember where it was from.
Yeah.
So, proven point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Right there.
Okay.
So you meet with restaurants in and just try to figure out, get their story kind of?
Yeah.
And tell me your process.
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as that, we want to meet with restaurants and see, you know, if they even have a marketing budget. And this goes with any company.
Sure.
Is you're to really grow a company. Now, if you want to start your own company and, you know, all that, do you want a job or do you want a career? Which one do you want is what you need to look at. Mm-hmm. And if you just want a job, well, then marketing is not that important. If you want a career, then the most important thing is marketing. You have to get your name out there. And then, you know, with marketing comes sales.
Sure.
Is if you do all this marketing and you never actually close them, then it doesn't really do you any good.
Right.
But so we're focusing on the marketing side, because most restaurant people and people that want to start a company are really good at getting the sale because people like food. And so that part's not hard. You need to get their attention and get them into your restaurant. Mm-hmm. And then the sales take care of itself. But the marketing side is the number one thing to grow any company. And so establishing if they have a marketing budget and where that strategy comes from and how they want to do that. Because if they're using social media, what platforms are they using? How are they pushing it out there? If they're trying to, you know, push word of mouth, what strategies are they using for that? Are they using, you know, referral basis and stuff along those lines, or, right, you know, anything? And then, I mean, the biggest thing in my mind is, do they really want to grow their company, or are they comfortable where they're at? Mm-hmm. So that's the big question.
It is. What do you want to do?
You can spend all this time trying to grow a company, but if you're comfortable and happy where you're at and you don't really want to grow, mm-hmm, well, then, you know, that's fine too.
Yeah. And the next sign you put out is probably going to be going out of business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For those that just want to say, hey, I'm happy where I am. I'll see you that. Yeah. So what are some different products? And again, let's just put this out there. Hey, do you own a restaurant and you're listening to this show? Do you know somebody that owns a restaurant? Tell them to get in touch with us. They can get in touch with Low Tech. Is it listed as Low Tech?
So Low Tech Sales. So
Low Tech Sales.
Yep.
You can go, is that .com? The website?
Yep, lowtechsales.com. Go to the website. If you Google us, you'll find all of our social media platforms and everything there.
All right. Or tell them to get in touch with me here at the studio. We'll hook you up and do a personal introduction for you. But this is something, and I'm telling you, they got some cool things, and we'll try to get some pictures and put them on our social media for Haystack Help Radio to show you a few things. But let's talk about a few things that you offer and you think would be good for people.
Yeah, so as far as that, we offer, again, anything under the sun as far as branding. So we do your apparel, we do your merchandise, your tchotchkes or whatever, you know, dingle hoppers.
I'm going to be honest. I do not know what a dingle hopper is.
A dingle hopper? Oh, my goodness. So for those listening that don't know what a dingle hopper is, go watch Little Mermaid, and it is the fork that Ariel holds up, and she says that, or the bird that tells Ariel what it is the fork is a dingle hopper.
A dingle hopper.
Okay.
And so the actual definition of a dingle hopper.
Well, I'll be honest, I don't feel bad not knowing. Okay.
But the actual definition of a dingle hopper is just something random.
Right.
And so that's what a dingle hopper is.
So let's take apparel. You've got companies you work with and that you can get, you know, polo mm-hmm. shirts, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you work out all the embroidering and do mm-hmm. all that.
So as far as apparel, for anything from t-shirts, so hard hats for construction workers. We do, you know, t-shirts for the lawyers or engineers, all that. And then we do aprons and chef coats and chef hats and baseball caps, name it, we can put your logo on it.
Okay.
As far as that, we have access to every brand of apparel, from Under Armour to Nike to, you know, whatever someone's personal preference is.
Right. Okay.
We can just, the biggest thing is if you're not comfortable wearing it, then you're never going to wear it. So the branded apparel doesn't do anything. So you need something that
you're
like to wear.
Yeah. Like, all right. And then you've got, as far as in the kitchen, like, and we'll run back to the restaurant stuff here. What are a few things that are popular that you make for restaurants?
Yeah, so our biggest thing is, you know, serving tongs and spoons.
Okay.
Because I don't know a single kitchen that doesn't have a spoon in it.
Right.
Even your home kitchens. And the biggest,
sure.
As far as branding and marketing, the biggest two main real estate areas for promotional product is someone's, you know, desk in mm-hmm. their office,
right,
or their kitchen.
Right.
Those are the two places your average adult American spends their time is either at their desk or in the kitchen.
Right.
And so if you can get a piece of product landed in one of those two places, then you'll be in front of that person a majority of their day.
Right, right. Once again, Kyle Willie is with us, Brandon Anderson. We are talking about low-tech sales. Check out the website, lowtechsales.com. What's the phone number if somebody wants to reach in? They got questions.
Yeah, the number here is 303-202-6337.
6337. All right. Tell you what, we're going to hit a quick break. More coming back with the guys from Low-Tech right after this.
How much do you need to lower your monthly mortgage payment? Two, three, 400 or more? As rates decline, take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Over 24 years of saving Coloradans money. Low rates, lower payments, less costs. What makes us different is we listen. As an independent mortgage broker, we shop the top lenders to save you the most. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Want to purchase your next home? You can't qualify unless you sell your current home? Let us show you how to get the down payment out of your current home, qualify for the new one, and then sell yours for the most. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. So you want to buy a home. Let us show you loans that can save you money, low down payment, first-time home buyer specials, fixed rates in the fours with buy-downs. Call for details, 720-895-0500, or apply now at AIMortgage.net. That's Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. Regulated by DORA, NMLS, 217-147, Equal Credit Lender.
You're listening to 560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. If you're just getting in the car, turn on the radio. Kyle Willie is with us. Brandon Anderson. No, it's not LT Arms. I know that's where you normally hear them on our Sportsman of Colorado show. We are talking about low-tech sales, another division of Kyle's company. And talking about marketing and branding and helping businesses. And, boy, they do a lot of things. As you just heard Kyle just mention, that they can brand your logo, get it on some stuff so people will remember you. So, Brandon, as the marketing guru here for Kyle, what's your idea in that, in the whole idea? If somebody, you know, hey, we can help you with branding, what does that mean?
It starts at your, I mean, your logo and the colors you choose and everything like that. You need something that's eye-catching, that is going to be memorable. A lot of people, they have a logo, and they don't realize that sometimes that they need to step outside of their inner circle and have somebody else do that. So I mean, we can do that kind of stuff for you too. We can design a logo. We've recently branched out into doing, we can do website design and help you out with your SEO and stuff like that, so you get, you know, better scores on Google when you see you'll actually come up in the top 10 searches and things like that. And having that marketing power behind you is really what does get you out there in front of people, so that you're not lost in the mix of, you know, if you Google barbecue restaurants in Denver, and Denver's not even a huge barbecue market when you compare it to places like Texas and
sure.
stuff. I mean, you can scroll
through
pages.
Nothing compares to Texas Sun, remember that. All right, go ahead.
But it's, you know, how do you stand out amongst all those barbecue restaurants?
Sure.
I mean, even if you have the best barbecue, no one's going to know unless they get in the restaurant. So,
right.
Yeah. And we've even been to events where food has been served and we'll get in line. You know, we'll go to a benefit or something like that and grab a utensil to serve yourself and look at it. And we're like, we made these.
Oh, yeah.
it works.
Yeah. Oh, that's
it
cool.
Works on us even. We'll go, this place is great. What is this? And we turn we know exactly who this is. We made these tongs for these guys.
No, you think about it. Yeah, I mean, we go to a lot of sporting stuff with our, you know, LT Arms and stuff. We go to shows, different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go to some, and I'll just say Ducks Unlimited Banquet. I'll just make up something.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're serving, a lot of them do serve, have catered barbecues. Mm-hmm. But you go there and there's just some, you know, plastic fork and a spoon and whatever.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and you may have really enjoyed that barbecue, but you get home, you go, man, where was that player?
Never.
Who was that, man? That was really good, you know.
Yeah.
And to have something there, and not that you're going to lick your fork off and keep, but you know what? If it's got a logo on there and it's something kind of decent, Well, you probably would.
Sometimes they
you
do keep them, though.
You probably would clean it and take it
we
home.
We were talking to one of our – we have like a – we work with an outside company that helps with like business planning and stuff like that. And we were in one of their marketing seminars, and the girl was asking us what we do, and we told her. And she was like, oh, that reminds me. A company came through here not too long ago, and they had stuff like that. And she's like, hold on. It's a spoon I use every morning for my yogurt. And goes digging through her backpack, pulls the spoon out, and shows it the screen in the Zoom call we're in, and it's a low-tech sales spoon.
Oh, really?
Like, that's us. She's like, oh, I love this spoon. I use it every single day. Yeah. And it was basically, I mean, we hand them out like business cards. We don't use a traditional business card. We have bamboo spoons that, you know, it's like a teaspoon serving spoon, but yeah, it's made out of bamboo, and it has our logo laser engraved, so it kind of shows the product we offer and how we brand ourselves.
And, yeah.
And in today's society, you know, you talk about how people don't, you know, lick off the fork and take it with them. But almost every, in a group of 50 people, I guarantee you there's 10 people taking a picture of the food.
Oh, no, dude.
That is crazy. And so everyone with Instagram, social media and all that, everyone is sharing their entire life. And so if the utensil that is sitting next to the plate has your logo on it.
Yep.
You just got 1,000 impressions just by that one picture.
Very true. Yeah. And that comes to train. I mean, when you get with a restaurant, tell them how to use this stuff, how to make it work for them.
Exactly.
That's part of it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Because
I mean, we'll go to trade shows, and he carries, Kyle always has a back pocket full of spoons, and, you know, we eat at a restaurant, and a couple get left on the table.
Yeah. <It's>
just, we leave our mark everywhere we go.
That is so cool. So you got spoons for, just throw out a couple other things that you can engrave or what would work for people.
Yeah, I mean, we do knives, we do, you know, stress balls, chapstick, you know, pins, you know, your typical swag that you would get at a trade show.
That's what I say, trade show type stuff.
Yeah, we can do all that, but we want to take it to the next level to where someone will actually take it home and use it.
Yeah.
True. Because the amount of pins I get from a trade show is ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, I have more pins than I know what to do with.
Right.
And, you know, you always have that one that you really like, so you always save it.
Yep.
But, and so you want to be that one item that someone's going to always save and stand out above the crowd.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing is in a world saturated with promotion and marketing and all that, you have to be that one item that stands out above the rest.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, for businesses too, and I know when you're getting a lot of something made, the budget can increase, but get something people want to keep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, like you say, man, I've been handed some garbage hats. I'm like, dude, I would not wear that thing.
Yeah.
If all my hair fell out, I wouldn't wear that thing. You know, I mean, spend some money, get a nice deal, because that's what customers are going to. That's showing the quality to me of your what you think of your business too.
Exactly.
You know,
and that's where it goes back to. You know, we had a fun little experiment a few months back of a logo. So we had a logo and we sent it out into the market to see how it performed. Then we took the exact same company with a different logo and sent that one out into the market. And the quality and the contrast of the two logos, the one that looked higher quality stood out more and got more followers behind it and all that. And the other one just completely died. And it was impressive seeing that.
Yeah, right.
How, I mean, it was night and day, the difference that it made just by the quality and the appearance of just the logo.
Right. You know, you mentioned chapstick. To me, that is one of the best things. You know what? People put it in their pocket, a guy, you know, put it in their pocket 3 months or so that got that thing. And rarely do you pull that out, just do it without looking at it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you look down, see where the cap is, like we don't know. But anyway, you look right there, and you're going to see that brand every time you use that. To me, that's been a great deal, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have to get some of that from you. We've run out at Sports from Colorado. All right, let's get into vehicle wraps a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got about 6-7 minutes here, and I want to talk about that. Yeah, you guys are designing my Sportsman of Colorado, a new design for me, and excited about that. But, man, I tell you, I've been probably having my truck wrap for probably 10 years, you know, and I'm telling you, it has been awesome having a truck wrap, you know, for Sportsman of Colorado Radio. My latest deal, I had a guy put a business card on my windshield. I was parked somewhere, called the guy, ended up doing business with him, and to be honest, it was a $25,000 deal. Mm-hmm. I'd have never got that deal if I hadn't had my truck wrapped.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I'm telling you, it is a rolling billboard.
Well,
your vehicles are out driving.
Instead of being a static ad like a billboard is, it stays in one place, and some people might look up at it, but everybody's looking at the road. I mean, yeah, when you're 3 feet away from somebody sitting there in traffic or somebody's walking through the parking lot, it's and that thing is in 20 different places throughout a day, or if you know, if you drive 50 miles in your truck, I mean, how many, 100,000 people might see it if you're in traffic? You know,
And that's the biggest thing is you... You're wrapping your vehicle, but what people don't understand is marketing is a tax deduction. For everyone trying to play the tax game and all that, you can write off almost every single item that you use for marketing. Mm-hmm. As you need a new shirt or something like that, you put your logo on it, that shirt instantly becomes a tax write-off.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that wrap will pay for itself in no time. People don't realize that when the upfront cost, they look at it, and it's like that thing is going to pay for itself. We did our truck for LT Arms, and I mean within the first hour, pulled it out, and somebody went and drove somewhere in it, and yeah, we got like two phone calls in the first hour, like, you guys are a gun shop over here? I didn't even know you guys existed. And we're like, I guess it works.
I know. It's humbling when they go to, we don't know you existed, but anyway, it's good that they do now.
Yeah.
So, And they got great designers here. They'll work. If you have a concept, you know, they'll work with that. But I would also say this. Be open to what they may throw at you, too. Okay? Because you never know. And, again, they'll obey you. I mean, if you got a certain deal and that's what you want, your truck, whatever, your company. But I'm also saying be open because they may have some things that they can show you, you know, strategically. Man, where's that phone number need to be? You know, where's that website need to be on a truck? I mean, needless to say, they're... Tailgate's huge, you know, back window, especially in a truck or something like that. But what I'm saying is, hey, they know what they're doing here, and I'm telling you, trusting my vehicle to them, and boy, you know, we're almost there to what we're going to be doing. And but it is money well spent if you've got a business. I don't care what business. If you want to get the name out, man, a vehicle wrap is awesome. And I'll also say this. Maybe you just got some vehicles in your fleet that don't look really sharp. And I tell you what, that's a turnoff to me. If I have a van pull up from a, you know, I'll just say a plumbing company or something, and man, I'm like, oh my gosh, how did that van even make it here? What makes you think that is the aesthetics of that van, how it looks, if it's scratched or whatever. Now, can you see something? I'm not talking about bringing a whole dented vehicle here because that'll show. But I am saying... I would never paint a vehicle. I mean, it's got good body shape on it. Man, wrapping is way better, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, painting is one thing, but wrapping, you can get so much more custom, and it, you know, gives a protective layer on the paint. So,
right. All right. How do we, I don't want to confuse people here. For Vivid Visuals, how can they get a hold of you, Brandon?
Our phone number for Vivid is 720-727-0460 or vividvisuals.com.
Website. Vividvisuals.com for truck wrap. And then for Low Tech, if you're interested in maybe, hey, just having a conversation, you know, over here off Kipling and C470 is where the shop is close to. And Kyle and the team, they'll meet you here, walk you through what they can do for you. And once again, the number for that, Low Tech Sales.
Yeah, Low Tech Sales is 303-202-6337. But you can call either company and be happy to help you in any department of branding or marketing that you could ever need.
And if you need a gun, LT Arms. That's the way to end. Right. Everybody needs a gun.
Got everything covered, all the bases.
LT Arms. Well, guys, hey, looking forward to working with these projects with you guys. And thanks for taking good care of me and my truck and my guns and all that good stuff. Hope my wife's not listening. But anyway, well, we appreciate it very much. And, yeah, they can help you out here. I'm telling you, get in touch with me at the – if you're driving, go, dude, I can't remember all these numbers. Just get in touch with me here at the station, and I'll come over, and we'll come over, and I'll do a personal introduction for you. Thanks for being with us today for Haystack Help Radio. Guys, thank you.
Kyle, thank you.
Brandon,
thank you. Thanks for being with us. Have a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Riding an e-bike will make you feel like a kid again. Just try it. Hi, I'm Randy Kranzi, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride around town. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
You're listening to 560 KLZ, your home station.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we'd like to welcome you to Your Health Matters. As mentioned, brought to you by Integrated Health Systems. Hey, always a free initial consult. Call 303-718-5617. Dr. Perry Maynard joins us today. Dr. Maynard, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Scott. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How's your summer been going?
It's been good. It's been busy. I've been bouncing around a lot of places. I was just in Dallas this last weekend. I forgot, man, the heat is just different. I went for a run one of the days. And once again, I grew up there. I played football there. So I thought I was used to it. And I got home and I was like, oh, no. It's like, is this what heat stroke feels like? I jumped in the pool and I was like, man, I cannot cool down. So it was... I think it was like 105, but the humidity, yeah. You know, it's just different heat down there.
Well, Bud, from 1958 to 1993, I was in Dallas.
Yeah.
And, boy, I tell you, it is unreal. And we went to Wichita, Kansas, 2 weekends ago. My nephew's playing some college baseball there. And, son, cool. To sit out and watch a baseball game, and it's 113 heat index. Oh, my. I mean, it was unbearable.
It's crazy. I thought about it. I was like, if I had to put a helmet and pads on, I don't know how I did it in 2 days, and even in college and stuff like that. It's like, I don't know. But I guess you get used to it. You adapt. And I guess when you're 18 as well, you can kind of, you can handle anything.
And that was just all we knew, you know, being from there. I mean, that was just the way it was. But, man.
Yeah, it was still 100 degrees at midnight.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, if it's 108 during the day, it'll be like 101 at midnight. Yeah, not much of a drop.
It does not feel good at night.
For sure. Well, hey, we're glad you could join us. And, you know, last week, Dr. Stedman, we talked a little about the punch biopsy. I think Sharon, your nurse practitioner, is going to be telling us some more patient stories about that. And I know it's relatively new for you guys. So, for those that didn't catch Dr. Stedman or hadn't heard us talk about this yet, let's start at the beginning of what this new tool is and how it can be beneficial for you and then in turn for your patients.
Yeah. So, I mean, punch biopsies have been, you know, around for a while. And where they really fit in is when we look at things like neuropathy, or any kind of nerve symptoms, right? So this could be weakness, this could be numbness, tingling, burning sensation. We really want to explore a few different things, but two of the main things is in our body we have large nerve fibers that are myelinated or insulated, right? So think about like high-speed internet cables, right? They're insulated. They're super quick. And then we have these smaller neurofibers that are unmyelinated, and they're a little bit slower, and they're a little bit more diffuse. So we have different sized neurofibers in the body, and they can create different symptoms. And we can have neuropathies that are mixed and are of both, and we can have neuropathies that primarily affect one versus the other. So what punch biopsies allow us to do is to assess what are called small neurofibers. And these are what have to do with pain, temperature, light touch, and like pinprick or pain. So you see these a lot as diabetic neuropathies. You can see these secondary to drug-induced chemo, autoimmune, all sorts of different stuff. But, you know, they don't tend to be tested for a ton, right? So I've been looking for, you know, doctors to run punch biopsies for years. And there was one neurologist I found at Swedish that I used to refer to, but it was just, it was so difficult to run. And right, and this was really important after COVID, because COVID was really impactful in causing a lot of small fiber neuropathy. So I think you saw a big uptick after COVID and people creating these, like, right, these weird nerve symptoms, right? So paresthesias, numbness, tingling, losing the ability to sweat, all these different kind of funky stuff, temperature regulate. And so I was kind of needing more of a demand of assessing these things. And when you looked at the research, they were showing that patients were developing these small fiber neuropathies. So it's been an absolute game changer having the ability to do them in office, right?
Right.
Versus before, with a lot of patients, it was like, I think this is what's going on, but I can't confirm. The punch biopsy is kind of the gold standard, right? And so traditionally, it is run, once again, in like the very clear cases like a diabetic, where they're like, I feel burning in my feet. I feel tingling in my feet. I have discoloration in my feet, right? And we have this what's called a stocking glove distribution of nerve damage. But where I think it is very useful, or where I find it very useful, is in a lot of my chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia patients, in my autonomic dysfunction patients, so patients with POTS, vasovagal syncope, some of these issues with regulating blood flow, a lot of these long COVID patients where they don't necessarily have numbness. So if you ask them, they say, no, I don't have any numbness or tingling. They're like, but I have this like body ache and my legs just feel this like deep, almost like growing pains, pain, right? And maybe they've lost the ability to sweat. Or when they talk about heat, they go out into the heat and they can't really temperature regulate. So what's kind of fascinating about these small nerve fibers is they also are autonomic nerve fibers. So they also play a role in thermoregulation. So the way we temperature regulate is a few different ways. One of the ways is we dilate and constrict cutaneous blood vessels in our skin, right? So if you've ever seen someone after being outside in the Texas heat, right, they're bright red all around. That is my body dilating cutaneous blood vessels so that I can offlet heat into the environment. And conversely, if it's really cold, right, I constrict and I get goosebumps and all these different things, and I shunt all the blood to my organs. So it is my autonomic nerves that play a role in doing that. They also play a role in sweat production. So once again, this is where there's a lot of patients that I think were getting overlooked, going to doctors, not getting the appropriate testing because they didn't fit kind of the stereotypical reason you would run it, but they had these kind of other symptoms. So that's where I see it a ton, is in these patients, once again, and how that might show up clinically is exercise intolerance, heat intolerance, aches and pains in the legs or muscle pain, or once again, fibromyalgia. So there's kind of a growing body of evidence to show there's a connection between small fiber neuropathies in fibromyalgia. And that makes sense, right? Think about fibromyalgia patients. They kind of have pain everywhere, right? And these poor people a lot of times get gaslit or, you know, get called kind of weak or wimps or wusses because, you know, you barely touch them and they're in agonizing pain.
Right.
And then you look at their nerve fibers under a microscope and you can see they're being absolutely destroyed. So if the nerve fibers that have to do with light touch, pain and temperature are being destroyed, you're probably not going to like being touched, right? And these are the patients I see sometimes where you take like a paintbrush or some sort of light brushing object, you brush it along their leg, and it's like agonizingly painful, right? This is this idea of allodynia, where a non-painful stimulus now becomes painful. And so I think it's really cool, one, because it helps to validate, I think, what patients are feeling, but also it opens up new treatment strategies to help these individuals. And a lot of them are covered by insurance, which is really cool. So different topicals, different intravenous therapies, all sorts of things to help not only with the pain, but also looking at trying to regenerate the nerve. So I think it's been really cool. And if we want, we can kind of talk about just various different cases and how it presents, because I think that might help people, because it doesn't always manifest as just like numbness.
Sure. No, that's great. Dr. Perry Maynard is with us once again. It's Integrated Health Systems. And again, free initial consult, no matter what our topic is each week. You know, before we jump into stories, let me ask you this. So when you do the test, when do you get those results back? How long does that usually take?
2 weeks.
Okay.
Not terrible.
Okay.
So 2 weeks, yep.
And then how do you go about what your treatment plan and where you go from there, depending on those results?
Yeah, so there's kind of two things I start with, is like, what is the pattern? So there's two main patterns of small fiber neuropathy you can have. One is length dependent. So this is kind of your classic stocking glove distribution, where it starts in the foot and then it slowly works its way up the leg. That pattern is traditionally seen in diabetics, metabolic disease, small vessel disease. It's helpful in kind of telling you where do you go next to kind of explore what the cause might be. So if we have a length-dependent neuropathy, we're thinking, okay, what does glucose look like? What do the blood vessels look like, right? Kind of what does metabolic health look like? And that really helps us to start kind of narrowing in of saying, okay, well, what is causing this, right? So that's kind of step one. And then there's kind of some different therapies from a regeneration standpoint we'll talk in a second. But the other pattern is non-length dependent. And this is like this kind of patchy distribution where maybe the foot's fine, but the calf is not. And then the thigh is. And then maybe the hand. And sometimes you'll see people say, yeah, I kind of feel like this patchy numbness. Or I lost the ability to sweat in random spots of my body. And when you look at non-length dependent, what's helpful about understanding that is that's a different cause. This is where we start exploring autoimmune etiology. So you can see it associated with things like lupus, Sjogren's disease. So there's some interesting data I read recently where for Sjogren's, which is an autoimmune disease, that will affect like glands. So it can lead to like dry eyes, dry mouth, and production of mucus. And some of the first symptoms or findings can actually be autonomic in these small fiber neuropathies. And there, it's not even necessarily the traditional rheumatological findings that you see. And so this can sometimes give us an early sign. So the pattern helps us to understand what route we need to go. So if we're thinking autoimmune, right, then do we need to create a team of rheumatology, immunology, and kind of searching down that. If it's length dependent, we want to be searching kind of more inflammatory metabolic health. And so we want to get to the root of it and address that. But from a regeneration, there's all sorts of really interesting stuff. So there's some topicals, there's some oral supplementations, things like alpha lipoic acid, some various different peptides. But we'll do a lot with different nerve stimulators. So there's one device we use called the StimPod, and this uses what's called pulsed radio frequency. Mm-hmm. And it actually has some data and some case studies on diabetic neuropathies and improving pain and things like that, but also helping to regenerate and improve and make more of a healthier nerve. So we'll do things with peripheral nerve stimulators to try to see, can we regenerate the mitochondria in the nerve? Can we try to get that nerve to grow back? So it's almost like, think of it like planting a plant. We give it things like alpha lipoic acid, B vitamins and other kind of nutrients. It's kind of like Miracle-Gro and fertilizer, but then we need to water it and expose it to sun. And this is some of like the peripheral nerve stimulator, red light therapy. So we kind of give it the nutrients to grow, and then we expose it to different stimuli to see, can we, one, help to make the nerve healthier and then get it to grow back, and then can we improve function, right? Maybe that function is improved balance. I would say a lot of people with small nerve fibers, like the patient I had, honestly, before I hopped on this phone call, you know, when you look at her balance, she's very unsteady on her feet. And hers is not too bad. But when you're checking things, like most of her sensation is normal until you really look at like hot versus cold. And you really got to look along the whole leg. And what you find is as you get down to her feet, she doesn't feel it, right? And then you look at balance and she's really unstable. So a lot of times these small fiber neuropathies are huge contributors to people falling, right, and tripping. So it's really important to screen for these things, because these things lead people to having increased risk of falls. I would say that's where I see it the most, is people are like, I just feel unstable. They're like, I don't, when you ask them, like, do you have any numbness? No. Do you feel like you feel your feet? Yeah, no, everything's good. And then you test it and they realize like, oh God, I can't feel anything. But how they manifest it is they just feel clumsy,
right?
And they just feel like they're tripping over their feet. So, that's kind of how we explore the pattern. And then that's what kind of leads us down finding the root cause and then different treatment options.
Sure. So you take your patient today, the young lady, had she been, did this come on all of a sudden? Does this start out like, you know, 6 months ago, a year ago? I mean, how does it, and is it different for everybody probably, right?
Yeah, I mean, hers has been around for a while, and I don't think anyone's fully really looked into it. She's had a history of Lyme disease, and I think a lot of it might have started after Lyme disease, and we know things like Lyme disease, you know, infections can cause and damage small nerve fibers. So, so it's probably been over the last handful of years she started to notice, like, some tingling in her feet, some tingling in her hands. But the bigger thing that bothers her is she feels very unsteady and very fatigued standing upright. And I think this is where it's really interesting, where a lot of her symptoms are worse when she's on her feet. And I think that makes sense for two different reasons. One, because she's unsteady, probably because of the nerve issues, but also she also has developed what is called POTS, or postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. Hmm. This is where individuals have issues regulating blood flow to their brain when they stand up. And as a consequence, they get a rapid heart rate to compensate. But you can see a connection between small nerve fiber neuropathies and POTS in that, once again, like I mentioned, what are the nerves that help to regulate blood flow in the body? They are autonomic nerves. What size nerves are those? Those are small nerves. So you can start to see there's a connection between her POTS and her balance issues and her orthostatic intolerance. So she doesn't like being upright. One, because she has trouble regulating blood flow because of this small fiber or autonomic neuropathy, but she's also unsteady on her feet because it's also affecting balance, right? And so we're doing nerve testing to kind of confirm that that is actually what is going on, but then also to get the pattern so we can further figure out what might be the cause. Do we think it's something more like a diabetes or an inflammatory or metabolic disease, or is it more autoimmune, and do we need to look at referrals to rheumatology, immunology, and getting the appropriate testing so that we can find a strategy to get to the root and then start working on it to hopefully get her some relief and improve her exercise intolerance. So one of her main symptoms is she can't exercise. She gets really fatigued. She gets really dizzy. And I see that quite a bit with these small fiber neuropathies, but also fibromyalgia. She's got a fibro diagnosis as well. So you can kind of see where all these things kind of fit in these patients. And I think it helps to give, like, I think especially patients with fibro, like, they feel crazy. They feel like everyone says nothing is wrong with me, but I feel awful. And so I think it can be really helpful to show patients, like, hey, here's why you feel pain in your body. Here's why you might be having issues and things like that. And I think it really helps to make patients feel like, hey, I'm not crazy. There is something, and there is something to kind of go after. So I think it's also helpful for people mentally versus constantly having every test come back and it be normal.
Mm-hmm. Now, what will like normal blood tests, things like that, and other tests tend to come back sometimes that normal? And that does drive you crazy, man, because you know something's wrong. You know you don't feel good. And everybody goes, you're in range, you know?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of patients with balance issues, a lot of patients with POTS and autonomic issues, a lot of patients with fibro, they have normal labs. You know, and this is something you hear from them all the time, and they go to their doctors, and their doctors just say, hey, you know, I don't know what's going on. You know, everything is normal, but it's you're not testing the right thing, right? And so that's why I think having more tests and having more access to these tests that are able to uncover a little bit more what's going on, I think is really helpful for patients, but also just to get them the care they need and the provider team that they need to get them better.
Right. You know, when you've got so many things, in some cases, going on, how do you know what to address first? I mean, you can't correct everything, yeah. You know, in one treatment yeah. plan. So what do you tackle first? How do you go about that?
Yeah. No, that's a great question, right? And that's why they call it practice, right? Practicing yeah. medicine or whatever medicine you're practicing. You know, I think it depends on a few different things. It depends on, like, what is the condition you're dealing with, but also what does the patient want? So I actually always ask patients, I say, hey, if I had a magic wand and I could wave it and I could fix three things for you, what would they be, right? Because that's the thing. A lot of times patients mm-hmm. come in, they're like, you know, I got numbness, I feel dizzy, I have brain fog, my big toe, right? They got a million different complaints, and sometimes they're related, sometimes they're not related at all. And so I always tell them, I was like, hey, this is just to help us focus. Like, what do you want? So like for this patient earlier, she said my fatigue, my numbness and tingling, and my dizziness. So then that allows me to say, okay, cool. So given all the findings that I found, where do we start, right? What is the priority? You know, so for her, where we're saying, okay, fatigue, numbness. So numbness is one of the main things she wants to fix. So that's where, okay, cool. The punch biopsy makes sense. Let's figure out why you have the numbness, right? We did some testing and we explored that she's not getting blood flow to her brain when she stands up. This is where we use the transcranial Doppler. And so early on, this is where we're like, okay, we're going to try to solve for the nerve issue first, because I believe the nerve issue is why you have the numbness and tingling. I think it is why you have balance issues when you stand up. And I think it's playing somewhat of a role of why you feel faint when you stand up as well. So that's going to be priority one, because I think by improving that, it's going to give us like, it's almost going to yield the most return, right? It's kind of like if you're mm-hmm. investing, you're like, what is going to give us the most return on investment? Versus like, okay, if I fix this, what will that really help you with, right? That's the question I'm always asking. You know, if I fix your toenail fungus, is that going to make a difference in any of your symptoms? And if not, maybe that's not where we start. So for her, that's where we're going to start, one, because I think that's where priority lies clinically, but two, that's what she wants. So it's always a team approach of, what do we think is ideal for the patient, but also what are they looking for, right? Because far too often, I don't think doctors really ask patients, like, why are you here? What do you need? What are you looking for? And, like, what does success look like for you? And that's what I always ask patients, too, is, like, what does success look like? And that helps me to also figure out a treatment strategy.
Dr. Perry Maynard is with us. It's Integrated Health Systems, 303-781-5617. And once again, they can help you, just out of this segment here. Here's what we're saying. A lot of times, tests do come back normal. And if you've been in that rut where, hey, they say, we don't know what's wrong with you, your primary care doctor, whatever, I hope you'll give Integrated Health Systems a call and let them see what they can figure out. We got about 3 or 4 minutes left here, but any other one patient you might want to run through a couple of more points about?
Yeah, I mean, I think kind of on this note, I had another patient where I think the punch biopsy was useful. So she was a younger gal, probably in her 30s, same thing. chief complaint is debilitating fatigue. And some of the interesting things we found with her, besides the fatigue, was also she had issues with blood flow in her brain, but she also had issues in utilizing oxygen in her left leg. So there's a technology called MOXIE sensors. There's a colleague of mine who I refer to, and what they are, they're really cool infrared sensors that you put on muscles, and you can see how well muscles utilize energy. And it was really interesting. For whatever reason, her left leg could not utilize energy. The only real complaint she had was her left leg occasionally felt like it had growing pains. So right off the bat, this patient comes in, nothing you would think about it would say, small nerves need to be tested. But as we dug a little bit deeper and paid more attention, it was like, this is kind of interesting. So we ran a punch biopsy. It came back that she has a non-length dependent small fiber neuropathy that has a pattern that you see with autoimmune disease. So, and it was mainly on the left leg, which was interesting because it allowed us to understand why she was having trouble utilizing energy on that left leg, which I believe was contributing to some of her exercise intolerance. And so what's cool about that is it has allowed us to kind of open the window for further testing to kind of figure out what is going on and what is contributing to her fatigue and hopefully getting to an appropriate treatment. So I thought that was a really cool case as an example of, once again, it's not always, I think people classically think, oh, small fiber neuropathy is in 65 and older, diabetic, you know, cardiovascular disease. But here you have a younger female and her chief complaint is when she exercises, she feels like she gets the flu and she feels awful. She feels sick. So off initial ideas, you wouldn't think anything about that. And as you dig deeper, we find that it gives us a bigger picture of where to go next, right? So it tells us some of where her symptoms are coming from, but more so it's kind of a picture of like, oh, okay, we need to dig a little bit deeper and maybe go a different route to maybe get the answer of what is fully going on in her case. So I thought that was a really cool case that we had recently where that punch biopsy kind of gives us a little bit more info, but they don't fit that classical pattern. And once again, this is a patient where this never would have been run in traditional healthcare.
Yep.
Right? She would have continued to go doctor to doctor without answers, and no one would have really paid attention. And honestly, there's another gal, similar thing, in her 30s, started after pregnancy, chronic fatigue, muscle aches, some pain in her body. Same thing. She's been everywhere. She had some positive testing for autoimmune, but went to the rheumatologist and they said, no, that's probably a false positive. But this testing allowed her to go back to her doctors and say, hey, everything is not right. You know, and then the doctor's like, oh, shoot, okay, maybe we were wrong. So sometimes it's honestly, it's building more of an arsenal to go back and be like, hey, no, everything's not right, you know. So I had another patient where it was really useful to get her other providers to pay attention to her. So you can see where it can fit in from multiple arenas. And I think that's a really cool example of three different cases that are so different, and it helped them in different ways as well.
Yeah. Boy, Dr. Maynard, great information. And I tell you, folks, one great thing about integrated health systems, they're always finding new ways to help you. And you know what? If you're sick and tired of being tired and sick, give them a call. 303-781-5617. Let them know you heard them here on Your Health Matter. Dr. Maynard, thank you for your time, sir, and I'll get by and see you guys soon.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, thank you. Once again, you've been listening to Your Health Matters, brought to you by Integrated Health Systems.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation. 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Steadman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.